Well, I spoke to my friend Professor Price. So he told me everything that I needed to know. He said I shouldn't worry about bumping anybody off, which I think is great. You know, make sure that I take, well, I am OCD, so make sure I take a shower for the shower game. I want to make sure I'm not a little bit too loony or a little bit too toony. And I need to make sure I'm on the spot, I'm off the spot, but on the nose.
If you know, you know.
Oh, wait, that was my secret ex. Hold on. Come here, buddy.
We love to interrupt, spreading the game show love every week on 5and1.net.
Yurt Rock, a documentary, will not be heard this time, so that we may sail away with this replacement.
A nice warm yurt, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
A nice warm yurt. Hey, Chico Alexander here. Some of y'all have never seen Gillian Jacobs in a Diet Coke commercial saying, if you feel like you want to live in a yurt it up. And it shows. But yeah, way to save on the budget wheel.
Anyway, I'm Gordon Pepper, and you can find a yurt on an island, which we'll be talking about. Clearly, you can find it on a game show, which we'll be talking about. You can't really find one in a drag race, but we'll be talking about it anyway. You can't find one in a kitchen, but we'll be reviewing stuff based on that. And we can be accurate or idiot in terms of the qualities of a yurt and other shows. I think that wraps everything up for the intro, but we have to unwrap everything when we get to a show. From somewhere in America, this episode of WLTI is on.
Let's go.
Yurt!
Yurt.
Eat. It's time to eat in a yurt. This is episode 528 here at 5 and 1. This is WLTI. I'm here with my friends Gordon and Chico. Gentlemen, you good?
We good. I want to know how y'all feeling out there. Y'all feeling good?
I'm very upset that the warmth is over for a hot second, but it was really nice those few couple of days.
Really. Yeah. Hey, Just remember, here in North Carolina, we don't have seasons. We have plot twists. Do we have any plot twists on Top Chef?
Well, do you have the theme for it? I think you do.
I do.
Hit it. Go back to the regular board. I'll come in. So, we are back with season 23. We're back from Canada. No, I'm sorry, it was Wisconsin, I believe.
No, it was Canada. And Top Chef.
No, it was Canada. You got it right.
It was Top Chef Destination Canada. Now it's Top Chef Destination Carowinds. Except not really, but still. We're in my neck of the woods this season. That is Top Chef Carolinas, where we have 15 of the best chefs in North America taking on the challenge this week of NASCAR.
Yeah, so let us talk on who is here. Seeger Byer, Jasper Top, Jassy Bindra from India, now in Texas. And by the way, Seeger is from Chicago. Sherry Cardozo by way of Brazil in Brooklyn, New York. Brittany Cochran from Columbus, Ohio in Charlotte, North Carolina. Oscar Diaz, Chicago, Illinois, now in Durham, North Carolina. Brandon and Jonathan Dearden.
Might as well call him Bronathan.
Because they're twins, identical twins. You have Duyen Ha, Jennifer Lee Jackson, Anthony Jones, Day Anais Joseph, Lawrence Louis, Rhoda Magmadong, Justin Tootla, and Nana Araba Wilmot. Now, Jennifer and Justin are life partners. So they are competing against each other. And, of course, the identical twins. So, of course, since this is Carolina, we need to start... They were split into teams of three. And they were asked to cook any dish of their choosing. But there's a little bit of a traditional timer difference here. They had however long it took a pro driver to complete 23, hence the season, laps around the Charlotte Motor Speedway. And I believe, is it a super speedway or is it a regular speedway?
It is a regular speedway, and it is located just north of Charlotte in the city of Concord, North Carolina.
Yes, it's actually 1.5 miles around. So they were not allowed to plate their dishes until the final lap, and the winning team split $15,000. And the guest judges, wow, my mouth is a little off today, is our current drivers Kyle Busch and Jimmy Johnson. The red team were Anthony
Bourne. I love that twist, by the way, and I'm surprised it took them that long to figure something out in terms of timing.
Well,
yes, that is actually small.
You use what is available to you. The Charlotte Motor Speedway was available to them thanks to production's partnership with the Greater Charlotte Regional Visitors Authority. So expect a really good season, at least as far as location shooting is concerned.
And the beautiful kitchen set was in a place called Steel Creek, North Carolina. And the shopping segment were at the Uptown Charlotte's Whole Food Market. Thank you, Wikipedia, for the details here.
The winners of the Quickfire, Jennifer, Jonathan, and Lawrence with their crab and shrimp... Now my mouth is dry. With their crab and shrimp hush puppy with harissa aioli, napa, and peach salad.
Yes, and right. So the elimination challenge is having to do with potato, specifically sweet potato. And believe it or not, I did not realize there were that many varieties of the sweet potato. Okay, there are at least five of them: Covington, Norton, Purple Majesty, Murasaki, or Carolina Ruby to highlight in their dishes. And the dishes were presented in groups of three based on their potato, but they competed individually. One person was eligible to win, but the least favorite dishes faced potential elimination. They were served at La Belle Helene, and the winner received immunity, which was Rhoda, who had a soy glazed Covington with miso, potato, sweet potato puree, and lime creme fraiche. And some of the guest judges were Jamie Lynch and Sean Brock, Shale Johnson, and Chidi Kumar. And the first eliminated was Day, who is the roasted Carolina Ruby with Herbe de Provence, soy sauce creole, or creole sauce, and roasted snapper. Now, Day will be in Last Kitchen after next week's episode where the second one was...
No, Day will not be doing that.
What?
Because that's one of the twists of the season. If you were eliminated first or second, no Last Chance Kitchen for you. You're gone.
Ooh, that's right. And also, in addition, only one contestant will rejoin. But you know what? I think that actually increases the importance of Last Chance Kitchen. You agree with that?
I'm not a fan of that at all.
You're not a fan?
Nope, and here's why. If you remember last season,
Yes.
Bailey was eliminated second. Bailey made it to the finals. This year, if Bailey was competing this year and that happened, she would not be seeing the finals or anywhere else. She would be toast.
Okay.
So, I'm the biggest fan of this. I will say this. It definitely cuts down the budget.
Uh-huh.
It does. Quick also question. Do you like the season so far?
Yeah, I do like the season so far based on that. But, you know what? Time will tell. I think it's very creative in terms of the sponsors and what they've been doing so far. So I think that part's cool.
Okay. So, I think we're going from Carolina to Fiji. Now!
And it go a little look, something like this. Hit it!
Now, the season is in the hands of the fans. They're calling the shots. It's out of our hands. You pick the buffs you're wearing today, and the rice and supplies, well, they said no way. Now it's time to drop another fan vote, the dangerous kind. This one will cut your throat. So are you ready to drop your plans? Are you ready to drop your hands? Are you ready to drop your bluffs? Because the fans have spoken, it's time to drop your buffs, yo.
Yeah, yeah!
That was DJ Jeff. That was DJ Rapping Jeff. And he supposedly wrote, and according to EW, he wrote it the morning of the event. I'm not so sure.
It needed to stay in the words of Natasha Hendricks. It needed to stay unwritten.
Yes, it did. It was awful. So he dropped the buffs, okay? So the tribes were reshuffled. The new Sela are Charlie, Camilla, D, Rizzo, Jonathan, with Rick and Suri, okay? So Aubrey, Colby, Joe, and Genevieve went to Kahlo with Tiffany.
Frizzy and Coach, and Emily, Christian, Ozzy, and Mike went to Vatu with Q, Angelina, and Stephanie.
Now, this is very, very important, okay? Okay.
Free
now,
gaming.
No.
In the business, we call this foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing. Yes,
it is foreshadowing. It is not pre-gaming per se. There is a
free gaming.
Okay, are you going to let me prove? Are you going to let me prove my point, or am I just going to? Or are you just going to say your point, thinking that you're right?
Well, I know I'm right, but I'll let you say your point, and then I'll just tell you why you're wrong.
Oh, I was.
Ooh, Jay, please proceed.
Okay. You have in the Vatu tribe, which is going to foreshadow, four people.
Yes.
Okay, who were in the same season of what was it? Heroes versus Villains, I think it was.
Yeah.
Okay. Which are?
Which four people are? Okay, I was going to ask.
I was going to say Mike, Ozzy, I believe it is Emily and Christian.
They were not in Heroes versus Villains, but some of them were in David versus Goliath.
Yeah, David versus Goliath. Yes, excuse me, wrong ones. I apologize. Yes. So you had numbers there. Okay. Now, here is, and I'll get there. Let's go to the reward challenge. This was another classic. This is the Blind Man's Bluff Challenge, okay? Where one person was the caller. Each tribe had to get three rings, bring
it
back.
Okay, I'm going to give me a second.
Hello?
Yep.
Okay. And you get to a puzzle table, and you direct two other blindfolded tribe mates solve the puzzle. First two tribes win immunity, and then four chickens for first place and one chicken for second. Okay? Sela gets their first win and four chickens. Kahlo got their last chicken.
Yep,
okay?
And Batu is about to get plucked.
Excuse me?
You heard me.
And one of them is getting their chicken choked.
Right, exactly.
Rest in peace, Erdy Anastas.
Yes, exactly. Oh, wow, you knew the reference, yes. Keep plucking that chicken. Anyway, so Q didn't have a vote. Stephanie voted for Angelina, but everybody else voted out Q because we had a previous... Now, you're going to split hairs on this, but I agree with you in this particular case when you had a previous relationship with four tribes, you had a previous relationship there. four members
of the
Okay, that's not pre-gaming. That's a previous relationship. There's a split hair. You may say something different. I'm going to stick with where I'm at.
Well, I'm going to say something different, but I'm going to zag here a little bit where you guys say zig. And I think there is a pre-existing relationship. However, I'm going to say it on the negative side, meaning that everybody that's seen the show knows how much of a danger Q is to everybody's game, including the fact that you can't trust him on anything.
Right.
In terms of that, if you've seen the original season where he played Havoc. So, yes, not only do you see pre-gaming from a good level, you also see it from a bad and, more importantly, dangerous level. So Q is somebody I think almost everybody knew they had to get rid of.
It was the
right
call.
Did.
It was the
far and away. Pre-gaming or non-pre-gaming, that was definitely the right call.
It was the right
call. So in that sense of logic, Jay, I completely agree with you and the castaways.
Yes, exactly. I mean, in this particular case, the previous relationship was actually more of a...
We've seen you before. We don't like you. Go away.
Yeah, exactly. So they banded together and did what they needed to do. And that's fine.
Agreed.
Okay. Yeah, you know, talking about a previous relationship, I believe it was Mike who said, like, every single person I knew prior to the game is in my tribe.
Right. He said it himself. It was right there. It was
on the table here.
Yeah.
Pre-gaming.
Exactly. Previous relationship, but moving from Fiji to the workroom, Gordon, you got it again.
All right, explain how Gordon nailed this one this week.
Okay, but before we go in, Gordon, the library was open in the mini challenge.
Yes, it was.
It was okay. It was all right.
It was all right, dog.
It was fine.
Right, okay.
Mickey Meeks thought it was incredible because she ends up winning $2,500. In that challenge, which leads us to the maxi challenge, where we have
with the pit crew bringing in suitcases.
Yep, not just any suitcases. These are suitcases of the fallen of this season in Drag Race. Mickey Meeks was given Briar Blushes.
No, because Mikey Meeks.
I finish.
Ahead.
Kenya Pleaser was given Vita Von Test Stars. Juicy Love Dion's Via Stars. Jane Dote was given Sierra Miss. Starling Mitchell was given Athena Dion's Suitcase. DD Coco was given DD Fuegos. And Discord Adams was given Mandy Megas. Why do we have all these suitcases? Because now your challenge is design a scrappy party dress using materials found in those suitcases and those suitcases only.
Well, you forget one thing.
What's that?
This was actually a schoolyard challenge.
Oh, really?
With a schoolyard pick. Where Mikey Meeks had the pick of all these suitcases, and then she got to pick next person, and then the next person got to pick the others.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't given. There was a specific strategy to this.
Ah, okay. There you go. I like that. Okay. I like that a lot. So, let's go to the party runway. Party runway, party up. Everybody understood the assignment. Henceforth, therefore, and for that reason, nobody was being eliminated this week.
And believe it or not, Kenya Pleaser actually won. Was the top two, which I was surprised to me.
I'm shocked.
Okay. But Jane Don't has won. Jane Don't has gone into the lead here, because Jane Don't has won three challenges and has never been in the bottom yet.
Yep.
Okay.
And Jane.
And I expect that trend to continue on the next episode, because that is the roast.
Bahamas. I believe.
Yes, it is the roast episode to Alyssa Edwards, and I don't know how many far we're going to, how many episodes left we've got.
We'll
a
see.
Few.
By the way, in addition to winning the challenge, Jane Doe also wins the lip sync. By the way, guest judge was Iman, the legendary model Iman, and the lip sync for the win, one of my favorite bangers, Patti LaBelle's Feels Like Another One.
Great song.
Great
song. But let us sing the praises of one James Dennison, shall we?
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy!
On last Friday's game, James Dennison from Alexandria, Virginia, a college professor and museum curator, became new champion. At the end of final Double Jeopardy, James had 24-2, Heidi had 12-2, and Corey had 3-4. Corey Aiello was our champion, and Heidi Schmeckel was a veterinarian from Rumson, New Jersey. The category is Countries of the World. The clue. It's island province of Annobon lies at 1.4 degrees south latitude. Its mainland begins at 0.92 degrees north latitude.
Now there is one or two very logical picks here. But if you picked Equatorial Guinea, congratulations, you are a winner.
Yes. So James goes into Monday with 36,199. He goes through the week. And on tonight's show, he is playing for the fifth time and a guaranteed shot at the Tournament of Champions. He has 99-4 with Luke Henson and Lydia Cawley. Conan O'Brien did some Oscar clues because he's hosting the show on Sunday. James has 14-4. Luke has 8-4. Not over yet. Lydia has 12. The clue is 21st century women. And I got this. The Iowa legislature passed a resolution declaring February 22nd, 2024, her day across the state. Did you know this?
I did know this because I am a big fan, really big fan, of one star of the Indiana Fever, Caitlin Clark.
Yes. Gordon, did you have anything on this?
Well, I actually knew it, but I decided because it was Iowa, is what is Fauna Storma?
Just Fauna Storma, yeah. Very nice. No, I was
if you know, you know.
Yes. Oh, and by the way, if anyone said Angel Reese, you wrong. James didn't know it, but Luke did. He was thinking Collins, but I have to sort of, and Gordon, you'll notice this because he's in the Tournament of Champions, but honestly, I did not like his gameplay. His gameplay was a little off because what I think he tried to do was rely on his betting, and I don't think he got many of the Final Jeopardy questions, and he was relying on the other people to get it wrong. And that's sort of a defensive strategy that I wasn't necessarily a fan of, you know?
Well, that is a good strategy of the game, and for 4 of the 5 games, it worked. So you can't really blame him for that. And I believe there was at least one runaway there, so he didn't use every single Final Jeopardy in that. Yes. But that all, and he did get in. We think he's going to get in. That all being said, I agree. I would not consider him a favorite to get too far in the tournament, but he got there, and that's the important thing.
Correct.
I agree wholeheartedly. Seems like James was not playing to win so much as he was playing to not lose.
And sometimes that's a good strategy.
Sometimes it is good strategy, but there will be the one time, tonight's match, for example, where that will be a failing strategy.
Well, you can't have you can afford to have one failing strategy, and it needs to be early.
Yes.
And it needs to guarantee you that you're in second place when you have the failing strategy.
Yep.
Now, very quickly, we need to go to the Masked Singer. And here's another double. This is double corporate synergy here. Okay? This is double corporate. So we have high voltage to, which I got to put my electric, non-electrical.
You got to put your rubber gloves on, bro.
Yeah, I do, because I got to unmask it gently and zip. Fox Sports analyst and World Cup broadcaster, Alexi Lawless. Corporate synergy, anybody?
Two times. And he ended his run by performing Bad Day by Daniel Powder. How appropriate is that?
Indeed. We have a couple of reviews, too. And the first one is a very highly anticipated one. I believe the one of the highest of the year. And this one is not in the United States. This is City TV's adaptation of The Price is Right Tonight, starring Howie Mandel in Canada.
Yeah. And now, for the record, we had to get help from our resident Canadian Jason Hune, who loves Family Feud.
You actually have the full episode? I've only seen clips.
I don't have the full episode, but I have the format of the episode.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so they do four contestants spinning. It's just like, okay, to quote the late, great Bob Barker, it is the same as the original show with big games and surprises to reward smart shoppers. I know that's not the right quote, but it's close enough. Here we have four contestants spinning the wheel, and the top two will play the showcase. If there is a tie in the showcase showdown, there is a spinoff on who gets the option to bid or pass in the first showcase. But aside from that, it is just like the original show, except instead of Drew Carey, we have another good MC in his own right, Howie Mandel. Now, they call it The Price is Right Tonight because the money, the stakes, the drama, and the prizes are, at least on paper, big. Really, really big. For example, in the premiere episode, we had a person play Plinko for $50,000 Plinko. However, Howie gave the player the option of swapping the three Plinko chips she won for a golden Plinko chip worth seven times the amount, because The Price is Right has been on the air in some form for 70 years. Yes, he acknowledges Bill Cullen.
Okay, and of course she took it. What did she, do you know how much she won?
She won $700.
Okay.
But it's all tax-free, so...
Yes, and of course, Master Key, you had, what was it, a year of chicken nuggets and $25,000. In cash. Now I saw a few clips of this. Set's great, announcer's great, host is great. It just feels, the pacing just feels off.
Yeah, it seems like, okay, this is The Price is Right. We are going to do it in the vein of a generic primetime show. And that's really the only base complaint I have, is that they're basically turning The Price is Right into this primetime extravaganza instead of what it is, which is The Price is Right. Not that I'm complaining.
I should have watched a different show than you guys, I think.
Okay.
Okay.
Here's what I agree with. I think the pacing could be better. Four against six, I get it. But again, to be fair, part of that is because they are trying to showcase Howie Mandel, and they're trying to break him sort of the same way that they broke Drew Carey in the American version. So I don't have a major problem with that. I do like the games, obviously. I love Howie Mandel. I think he was fantastic. He was glib. He was off the cuff. On that. And that was something that I thought was a lot of fun. And where Drew Carey was like, I want the contestants to win. I want the contestants to win. Howie Mandel is, I want the contestants to win, but I'm going to poke fun of them and everybody else while I'm doing it. Cliffhangers was a classic clip that was a great example of that. You get to go on vacation and your friends don't.
Right.
Just some really fun stuff that he did. I mean, they sort of released the collar on him when I had a feeling that Drew has, and still does, for that matter, a little bit of a tight leash. They don't have that on Mandel, and it shows. And blasphemy, this is a more fun show. A minus.
You know what? I love the price. I love the Price is Right when it's done right. I think the show was done right. I think they didn't nail it, but it was a really good show to watch. I'm going to give it a B+.
Plus is the right grade. A minus, B plus. I mean, again, a very good debut. It will get better. Remember, when Howie debuted, good, what was it, 2005?
It was 20 years ago. Oh, my God.
That's right. He first became a game show host almost, 20 years ago.
And he was on Bobby's World or St. Elsewhere. He wasn't going to think, yeah, I'm going to be a game show host. I'm going to be one of the forefront
One of the most popular talent judges, and too. So, but he's very good. I want to see improvement. I want to see what they continue to do.
Yeah.
And good stuff. Now, the Food Network has a baking championship, the ultimate baking championship, pastry chefs. Is it any different than anything we've ever seen before?
No. Well,
no.
But here's the thing. It almost, and this is my complaint about the show. It takes itself way too seriously. We've seen how many baking championships have we seen on this show? I've lost count at like 30, 35.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, but the thing of it is, none of them take themselves seriously. It's all good fun, and we're watching it. We're having a good time. We're rooting on the contestants. The Ultimate Baking Championship, props to, Duff Goldman and Jesse Palmer. They are absolutely killing their role, but everything about this show screams, it's trying too hard to be anything more than what it is, which is a season of baking championship. Does that make any sense?
It does, actually. It does. They want to try to make a good season more important than what it is. They're trying to get out of their lane and move into a different one, but it's sort of wonky the way they're doing it. So I believe that's what you're saying.
Yes.
And I don't disagree with you on that. So it's there. It's all right. It's cool. I do agree with Chico that the accoutrements that were new doesn't really work as well as it should, but there's nothing really horrifically wrong with it. C+.
It's a B minus for me. Jay?
I'll split the middle. It's C. Again, we want to see something a little bit different.
How is that splitting the middle exactly?
Yeah.
Because B minus, what'd you say? B+, C,
no,
C minus.
No, I said, he said C minus. You said C minus. No, you.
No, I said, said I said C plus.
I said B
you
minus.
You said B minus.
And then, in the middle of the two is C, isn't it?
No. No.
Welcome to Math Regulations 101 with Professor Jason Block.
Okay, well, I'm going to try and be in between, but it's in the middle for me. It's just average. It's C.
Okay.
Okay?
You're in the middle of something. That's got to
count. Yeah, I was going to say, that makes you at the middle of the bottom.
Right, exactly. But Chico, you brought this one up late tonight as we're adding one more in here.
Yes, this one literally just broke as we were putting this show together, and that is the death of Canadian entertainer, singer, and TV host Blake Emmons. Blake Emmons, you would know from the first season of the 1986 run of Chain Reaction, which aired in Global in Canada and the USA Network in America. He left the show after season one, and season two, that's when we brought in Jeff Edwards. The late
guy named Jeff Edwards.
Yes. So, and before that, the year before that, he appeared as a contestant on The Joker's Wild. And he also appeared as a celebrity guest on Definition.
Which is one of my favorite Guilty Pleasure Canadian shows, by the way.
Yep. But aside from that, he also was a performer. He released country singles in the 70s and 80s. He was the host of Funny Farm, which is sort of the Canadian version of Hee Haw. And he also was the first host of Telemiracle, which is a fundraiser for Saskatchewan. And not only that, and this is something that we will all appreciate because we all come from military families, Blake Emmons is a veteran, and he used his veteran status to organize the Wounded Warrior Weekend in Nipawin, Saskatchewan, which was an event that brought more than 100 soldiers from across Canada and the United States together to fish, golf, and connect as part of their rehabilitation and recovery from PTSD.
Excellent.
Indeed.
Good stuff. I believe. Moment of silence, please, I think.
Yep. Thank you.
All right, that will end the opening round. Still to come on the big show. Are we accurate in our assessments, or are we a bunch of idiots? I've been called both of these things. But first, it's all the news you didn't even know you needed to know, including A Voice Decides to Hang It Up. With Gordon Pepper and Jason Block, I'm Chico Alexander. Stick and stay with 5-on-1, your home. Before we love to interrupt, you give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 different mathematical terms that I think would be really interesting to see Jason Block define. Mean.
Get out of my head, okay? Because that's the first one I was going to say. Mean, medium, middle.
Derivative.
Sine, cosine, tan, algebra, geometry, trigonometry.
Radical.
Math.
Spatial coordinates.
Math is hard.
B plus, right C back. Minus, C.
We'll be right back. Math is hard.
One in four of us will be affected by mental illness at some point in our lives. Yet nearly two-thirds of us will never seek help, especially men. We pride ourselves on courage and our ability to never show weakness. But mental health touches us all. We are athletes, actors, and musicians. We are friends, husbands, and fathers. It's one of us. It's one of you. It's time for men to talk about mental health. Help starts with the conversation. End the stigma. To learn more about our stories, visit bringchangethemind.org.
Brain Vision News is presented by Kentucky Fried Tar Heels, the official Kentucky Fried Tar Heels of Top Chef Carolina, because Clemson, South Carolina is about to run away with an upset. Welcome to March, folks. That is Kentucky Fried Tar Heels Ramsay's done right. By the way, guys, I have my my own bracket pool. I put it on my Facebook. I want you guys to click it if you are interested.
I will do so. And by the way, just because North Carolina loses in the tournament doesn't mean jack, really.
Not really,
getting in.
They're totally getting in. They're getting. I'm going to call my shot right now. Sixth seed.
Okay. But, yeah. Gordon, you are the number one seed in Q giving. So, would you please?
Sure. Roll that beautiful ring footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media at Rock 104 Rock Tracks at Tracks Productions and at Doug Morris Games. And don't forget, every Sunday, Doug is on the air with Rock Tracks with Doug Morris. That is Rock Tracks with Doug Morris every Sunday on Rock 104 WXRR Hattiesburg 104.5 on your FM dial and all over the known, Dan Larson.
What? There we go.
On Rock104FM.com. The Odyssey app, and the Rock 104 app.
Now, your bat rack has a lot of spaces on it.
Well, it's got a lot of spaces on it, but there's also a diamond bat with a peacock feather on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do it.
Boys of Summer, folks.
Guess business. Guess business time.
Okay, our amuse-bouche in the business end is a frozen floor. Not frozen four, frozen floor. Because the new season of The Floor, which debuts April 8th, it's a two-hour show, has a game-changing twist. It is called The Floor Freeze, or The Territory Freeze. New for this season, the twist was not explained fully, but the trailer said, freeze the floor, control the game.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
If you don't know what the twist is, why are we mentioning it?
I have, Fox gave me the information, okay? All they say.
I hear you.
Here's the twist. Whichever contestant wins the most duels will have their spots on the floor frozen. Which means if you have the most duels in any given game, your spots are frozen. You can challenge any category around you, but they cannot challenge you. And I guess that lasts for an episode, which is interesting.
I have to, I'll have to see an execution. We all have to see an execution. Yes.
I like the concept. I think the issue, I think what it really means is that, like, let's just say for argument's sake, you've got 30 spots, okay? And you decide, okay, this is good, I have enough. So someone at the end who happens to be right next to you can't just challenge and say, well, I want all your spots, and be forced to defend every single sleeping time.
Yeah.
So I like that it does give protection to the aggressives.
There you go. Okay, now we get to the diamond bat that's ready for summer because we have a summer schedule for a network. And that network is celebrating its 100th anniversary this year.
Ah, NBC! That's right, NBC!
Yes. The Summer of Fun on NBC begins on June 2nd with the season debut of America's Got Talent. Everybody's coming back. Everybody's coming back. Terry Crews, Gordon's favorite host of anything ever. Simon Cowell.
He is. He is, and it will always be forever be appreciated.
Simon Cowell, Mel B, Howie Mandel, Sofia Vergara, We're going to be back with the Haterade's Got Talent segments of the World's Strongest. It's going to be fun. And yeah.
Yay.
And right after the season premiere of America's Got Talent, we have the season premiere of Password. Finally.
Yay.
No listing of stars to play with Kiki and Jimmy as of yet, but it's probably coming.
By the way, Password is taped in Kearney, New Jersey.
Isn't really?
I thought it was at
Rockefeller. I thought it was at. Okay.
Nope, check out. Oh, check out on-camera audiences.
Okay. All right, and the next Monday, June 8th, is the season debut of American Ninja Warrior. And new this season, we have a new round called the Triple Header. Ninjas will go head-to-head-to-head in high-speed, side-by-side races. So instead of completing the whole course, we're just going on with the change from last year, which is... we're basically racing for $250,000.
And if it sounds familiar, like you've seen it before, that means you have.
Yeah. I've seen this done. They're basically turning American Ninja Warrior into Team Ninja Warrior, except they're doing it with individuals instead of teams, which is kind of sort of base, but whatever. And then we have on August 19th, the season premiere of The Wall.
Yay!
The show that never ends, man.
It is the show that never ends.
That doesn't.
It just goes on and on, my friends. But one show that...
Hey, look, it is a fairly cheap, to be fair, as much as we're going, yay. To be fair, it is cheap to produce. They haven't really destroyed anything in terms of budget, and Chris Hardwick is a good, competent, capable host. Clearly, you know, the only thing that I want to say from that is I want to see him in more and different things because he is that good.
He is a really good he's a really good MC.
I'm not saying don't give up The Wall to do something because we only need paychecks, but add something to the repertoire. That would be cool.
Yep. Meanwhile, on the other side of the bat. Last year's Yes Chef has been taken off the menu. It has been canceled after one season.
What was Yes Chef?
Highly skilled, rebellious chefs nominated by their bosses, coworkers, friends, and family, put through the ringer for $250,000, which eventually went to Emily Brubaker.
This felt really, really, really contrived.
Yeah. And now it can go contrive in hell, for all I care.
Hell's Kitchen?
Okay. But I do have a little bit of a date book that you sent me, Chico.
All right.
Friday, we debut Celebrity Jeopardy All-Stars on ABC and Hulu. With Rachel Dratch, March Duplass, and Katie Nolan. Yay! Okay.
More of that, please.
We know Andrew He is very happy about this. Sunday is The Bachelorette before the first rose. That's probably... is that after the Oscars?
That is
really?
That is after the Oscars, and congratulations, ABC. You are milking the secret lives of Mormon wives for all it's worth at this point.
Mm-hmm. Wednesday is the Dirty Rotten Scandals Price is Right episode. We didn't check. Did you watch the Tyra one yet on E? I have not yet.
I'm going to watch it on Peacock, and we're going to talk about both of those shows next week. See what they got
okay.
Right, what they got wrong, what was worth defending, and what
wasn't. And then, of course... on Hollywood Squares, we have Neil Brennan, Glenn Close, Whitney Cummings, Robbie Hoffman, Little Rel, Triumph the Insult Comic Dog, Leslie Jones, Howie Mandel, and Drew Barrymore. And we have the season premiere a week from today of LOL Last One Laughing on Prime. But let's talk about Dad App, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you are big on the Roku channel, then you are big on a whole lot of game show channels that just landed on the Roku channel. They are The Price is Right, The Barker Era, The Price is Right, Family Feud, More Games to Love from Buzzer, Game Show Central, American Gladiators, Celebrity Name Game, Supermarket Sweep, Deal or No Deal, Let's Make a Deal, Survivor, American Ninja Warrior, Shark Tank, Deal Zone by History, Kitchen Nightmares in Hell's Kitchen, Project Runway, The Masked Singer, The Great British Baking Show, Fear Factor, Shark Tank Latino, Wild and Out, Impossible, Millionaire, Amazing Race, and Estrella Games.
That's
great. If it sounds familiar, I mean, you can get most of these on Pluto. However, there's some that you can't.
That's right.
So I'm really looking forward to grab some of those, like especially Shark Tank Latino. That sounds like it'd be fun.
Oh, I bet you it is. And you know what? You can get most of these. It's like,
oh, can I also add another?
Oh, yeah.
Can I also add another little bit, something from the Game Show Network?
What's that?
That was good. About Celebrity Jeopardy and Celebrity Wheel of Fortune.
Yep, our chief Buckety Buck and schedule monitor, Carl Chenier, the executive producer of this podcast and this podcast network, has pointed out that Celebrity Wheel of Fortune, Celebrity Jeopardy are joining the Game Show Network schedule in place of, what, Card Sharks and Magic Game?
I think so. Hold on, I have to get the exact date. I think it's coming really soon. Starting March 14th. As a matter of fact, this coming Saturday, they're coming to the weekend lineup.
There you go.
That is from the official. That will be Wheel of Fortune at 6 p.m. Eastern and weekends. At 7 p.m. for Celebrity Jeopardy. Good for them. They've got a few seasons to work with. Good. That's, you know what? That's smart. This, however, not so much.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Gordon Pepper sent me a real humdinger this week, folks. Are you smarter than...
Go for it.
Are you smarter than Mel and Pete from The Real Housewives of Pretoria? Melanie and Petrus Villion, known as Mel and Pete on the show, have been arrested in Boca Raton, Florida after confessing to shoplifting thousands of dollars worth of groceries from Publix.
Over $5,300 of groceries. That is impressive.
Okay.
You shop? That one time?
No, this was from August 25th.
Oh, 6 months.
Yes. Melanie says that she was stealing because she was in survival mode and has not worked since coming to the U.S. due to not having a visa.
Well, she's off. Do you know what? Okay, I'm looking at the article here. Okay. She... I can't say what she says. Okay.
We can do euphemisms.
Okay. She said that she relocated to the U.S. She said, "There are no doubt in my mind that I hate certain people in South Africa with a darker skin than me, and that I hate them to the point where I could be determined to use the R word for it."
Bro!
The R word
is not ravioli, kids.
No, it is not. Okay, and this is from News 24 South Africa, I believe.
By the way, here are here's a list of some of the islands, some of the items that they shoplifted, and it makes the mind boggle. La Marca Prosecco, San Pellegrino sparkling water, Maison Perrier sparkling water, Coca-Cola Zero, fruit, toilet paper, and other groceries. Y'all bougie is right now. Let me tell you.
Yep.
I'm trying to boggle the mind of why you need $5,300 worth of toilet paper.
Okay, look. Some people just even can't afford that. This is not 2020, but still, you know?
And if you're looking just to barely get by, Prosecco? Prosecco
is a very yummy beverage. That being said, no.
I'm sure it's a fantastic beverage, but that's not exactly how much exactly does a Prosecco cost?
Well, okay, hold on. Prosecco Publix.
I'm gonna guess it costs more than $1.50 bottled water.
Well, okay, I'm looking at a Publix brand called La Marca Prosecco from their on their website. Well, fine, I'll have to choose a store, but whatever.
Chico, while Jay's looking it up, we're going to play Bullseye. How many Proseccos does it take to get between $10 and $12?
It's probably
one. I'm gonna go with one. You know,
what's the correct answer?
I'm trying to find it because I'm not in Florida where Publix is. Okay.
Can I just pull up my Instacart here because I'm in?
Sure.
I have the Publix app because, like I always say, I will skip three Food Lions, two Walmarts, and a Harris Teeter to go to Publix.
And an Acme and a pear tree.
Prosecco cost La Marca Prosecco $16.
Right, that's wrong.
$16 Prosecco.
Oh, you're way off the bullseye.
Hey, you said between $10 to $12. Okay.
It wouldn't even.
All right, you can buzz me instead. Gordon gets a buzz. Boo, Gordon. Boo.
No. You could do that for the grocery game, but still, good grief. Can we go from Prosecco to Haterade, please?
Yeah, that's always free.
And this one, oh look who's back.
Brains!
Yeah, poor bottle.
Is Hickory today?
Sorry?
Augustus, a.k.a. Augie, our resident game show zombie stripper, is very hungry.
Yeah.
Give it more to eat.
Yes. Pour a bottle of Prosecco out for The Inheritance. Because that show, which pretty much was dead on arrival on Channel 4, despite having Elizabeth Hurley as a host, is dead after one season. Yep, if you remember...
Maybe the family of whammies. Actually, no, that would be Elizabeth Banks with the family of whammies. I take that back. But yeah, it's just such a mean-spirited, terrible show. I mean, it's yeah. As a game show fan, you never want to see shows meet brains, but... Flat.
No, you don't. No, you don't. But the thing is, and of course, the guy won £100,000 and then decided to split it with everybody. So everybody wins. Yay.
Yay.
So where are we headed? Where are we taking Elizabeth Hurley and the two racist South Africans?
We're going to take them to Italy.
Ciao.
Nothing beats a Jet 2 holiday. And right now, you can save £50 per person. That's £200 off for a family of four.
Ben and Jay's competition format, The 50, is heading to Italy. Banachay Italia will produce the sixth international version of the format for Prime Video. Originally created by Banachay France's B-Prod, the 50 sees 50 reality stars compete inside a castle under the control of a mysterious lion-masked game master. Through daily challenges, players gain the power to save others, while those left unprotected are eliminated. As alliances shift, the group works to build a shared jackpot with the final prize of up to 50,000 euro awarded, not to the winner, but to one of their supporters.
Funky.
Yeah, all right. I actually looked it up. It's based on the French show Los Cinquante. There's also... there's something called Los 50, which is the Spanish version of that.
Los 50?
No. Los 50. It's called Los 50. But we'll see. But we need some more worldwide media pros.
In this week's Media Pro Report, we have contestants for The Farmer Wants a Wife, the new season, and all I can say is it seems like the farmers have a type.
Yes, or the producers have a type.
Yeah. Daniel Faitaua has been tapped to host Celebrity Tipping Point New Zealand. Which I've actually seen an episode of Tipping Point Lucky Stars on Prime Video. Good luck, Dan. I mean that. Ken Jennings doesn't see himself on the Traitors, but you can see him in Fresno. Sean Wallace is on the men after knee replacement surgery. Jeopardy throws shade on Timothy Chalamet's ballet or opera comments.
Oh, he's crashing and burning on Sunday because Michael B. Jordan's winning an Oscar on Sunday.
Uh-huh. Valerie Bertinelli plugs her new memoir, Getting Naked, The Quiet Work of Becoming Perfectly Imperfect. Nicole Curtis reappears on, of all places, the show that awarded her Donkey of the Day, The Breakfast Club.
You know... As my legit therapist tells me, sometimes silence is golden. Sometimes you just need to know when to shut your mouth.
Oh, she has.
Just because you have an opinion doesn't mean that we need to hear it.
Oh, Nicole Indeed. Has the right. Oh, Nicole has the right to remain silent. She just lacks the ability.
Indeed. Yes.
Stars, Byron Allen has bought 11% of Stars. Stars reacts by adopting a poison pill strategy.
Oops.
Nikki Glaser will host the Golden Globes in January.
Oh, she got renewed for another year?
Uh-huh.
Oh, good, because I liked her. She's funny. She's good.
She's funny. More of her, please. Joe Amabile and Serena Pitt launch a new podcast. Not married to this. Mark Ballas and Whitney Levitt will reunite in Chicago on Broadway. Joanna House says winning America's Next Top Model season 2 left her in debt. But none of them is your pro of the week. And that pro of the week is journalist, voiceover, and scorekeeper / judge on one of our favorite radio shows, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Bill Curtis, who will retire upon the completion of the May 23rd episode.
And that's sad, because you want to talk about mainstay. That's a mainstay.
Yes. He said in a statement to NPR's editorial staff that there is no better way to stay young than to give voice to jokes written by people who are fearless in taking down anything and anyone.
Well, I also, first of all, if I do listen to Wait, Don't Tell Me on this, he's funny. He has a very dry sense of humor, and there's some stuff he gets away with that I'm like, wow, he got away with it. Very cool.
Well,
and those are your pros.
Yes, good luck, Bill. We can't wait to hear you on the radio. Meanwhile, that is Brain Vision. Jason, if you would, please.
Right here. Here you go.
All right, still to come. It is another round of our favorite this or that game. That is accuracy, yay, or idiocy. Huh?
Right.
This is WLTI, and we will be right back.
Game Show News Net has been brought to you by Celebrity Ninja Warrior. That's right, we've filled up the pool with rabid man-eating lawyers, and our celebrities get to try to avoid them by completing as many obstacle courses as they can. Besides, who doesn't want to see Ross Matthews cannonball into an acid-filled lake with rabid man-eating lawyers? You know you want to watch. It's short for essential. That is Celebrity Ninja Warrior coming to a rabid man-eating lawyer pit near you.
That sounds painful.
And accurately cool in a weird sort of way. We're playing one of our favorite games right now, which is called Accuracy or Idiocy. We're going to just throw some topics out there, and we're going to decide whether it's accurate or idiocy. For example, I'm going to give one, if you don't mind.
I do not.
Okay. Elements of Survivor 50 will become mainstays in future productions.
I'm going to say accurate, but I don't think we've seen those yet.
I think we've seen one already. I think the Boomerang Idol is an absolute genius idea.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's a fantastic idea. I don't know if we're going to see it, but I would be happy if they did bring it back, though.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a couple of elements be played out in future seasons of Survivor. As much as Survivor 50 marks a celebration, it also marks, you know, the opportunity to try some new ideas. Because remember, all of these people think they know the game. I laugh at
Okay, well, can I throw in a sort of an addendum, because I agree with you on this? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Something we didn't mention in the recap is that next week Zach Brown is going to appear, country singer Zach Brown. Okay. Are we going to see more celebrity appearances during future Survivor seasons?
I mean, there'd have to be a really big reasoning for that.
Oh, of course we are. Accurate. I mean, we've had stars play in Survivor as contestants. Hi, Jimmy Johnson on line one. Lisa Welchel on line two.
Mike White on line three right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, okay. I mean, but well, put it this way. So far, I am enjoying it. I am enjoying the season. I really am. Let's see where they go from there. What's the next one? You say?
Yeah. The Price is Right is celebrating St. Patrick's Day next week. Special St. Patrick's Day episode. At least four wins.
The answer is no. Usually special themed episodes do not do well when it comes to wins. So I'm going to say idiocy.
I'm going to agree with Jay, and I'm going to agree with him for that exact same reason.
I'm going to agree with Jay, and I'm going to agree with him for that same reason as well.
I mean, all right, that was fun.
All right, Gordon, up to you.
Yeah, I'll take the next one. Top Chef is usually on Wednesday nights. Not this season. It is now on Monday. And the reason why they moved it there was because by agreement, or because they didn't feel like it, they did it to avoid going up directly against CBS's Culinary Cup with Padma Lakshmi.
Idiocy.
Oh, that is absolutely...
Well, hold on. I'll tell you why it's idiocy. They did it to avoid Survivor.
Oh, no. Gordon is 1,000% accurate. They did not want to go against Padma this year. They wanted Padma to fail. By the way, what were the ratings in week one? Can you look that up, please?
Okay. Thanks to our friends at the TV's ratingsguide.com. The most popular show of the night was Chicago Med at 9 p.m. on NBC with 6.39 million. But leading in the all-important money demo was Survivor, down a tick from the last week's premiere. America's Culinary Cup fell off, and it fell off hard. It only grabbed just shy of 2 million viewers, with an 1849 rating of 0.29.
Gordon, you know what they did. They're letting Padma burn, and then they will go back Wednesday next year. This is an absolute perfect move that they did. Brilliant.
Yeah.
And it's accurate what you said. It's
accurate. I'm going to agree with you, Jay, on that. I think I absolutely agree. I think they wanted to avoid any reason that their ratings would drop. So I agree. Accurate.
Okay, I will defer my time to the gentleman from New Jersey. So, Gordon, you have the next one.
Okay, I will take it. Accurate. I'll wait for the bell. All right, accuracy or idiocy? We did talk about some of the primetime games that are on daytime, but we didn't talk about something else. Beyond the Gates. Next year, at this time period, we're seeing a game show instead.
Idiocy. It's one of the most successful soaps out there right now, if not the most successful soap out there right now.
Yep, it is. And it has the advantage of going up with the CBS lineup with Price, Let's Make a Deal, Young and the Restless, and The Bold and the Beautiful. Beyond the Gates is definitely a keeper. By the way, I've seen Beyond the Gates. It is really riveting stuff.
It's actually very good. It's very impressive, and it really is the shot in the arm that soap operas need right now. So, side question, are we going to see more soap operas instead of syndicated game shows?
I'd actually like to see maybe one or two more. Because remember, back in the days when our grandmothers used to go and watch their stories, you know, we had, if in peak soap opera land, right, ABC had All My Children, One Life to Live in General Hospital, right?
The Love in the Afternoon lineup, yes.
Okay. NBC had Days of Our Lives and earlier on Another World. That's five, right?
Yeah.
And then CBS had Young and the Restless and then Bold and the Beautiful and then Guiding Light. So we had eight or nine soaps. We're down to, let's see.
We're down to the Young and the Restless, Bold and the Beautiful, Beyond the Gates,
General Hospital,
and Days of Our Lives is on Peacock now.
Right. I mean, I'm saying everything old is new again. If you have the right cast, staff, and story base, you can do this. I mean, look, Beyond the Gates is successful for two reasons. Three reasons. One, the writing is good. Two, you have a great cast. And three, it is a brilliantly done African-American-centered soap, which hasn't been seen since a show on NBC called Generations.
I remember Generations well.
Okay. So if you get maybe, say, a... I don't know if you can get a, you know, an LGBTQ soap, or maybe even a telenovela, an Americanized telenovela.
They tried that, and it didn't work. It was on a little network called My Network TV.
No, but I'm talking a mainstream, like CBS, ABC, or NBC. ABC or NBC. Something like that. Anyway, next question. I'm going to say this. Jane Don't will not win RuPaul's Drag Race Season 18 this year.
Idiocy! Jane Don't's getting the winner's edit, and she's justifying it with all of her wins.
I definitely think it's accurate. I don't think she wins. I think there's only one drag queen in the whole history of RuPaul's Drag Race that came in polished and left polished and didn't have any sort of growth in an arc, and that was Sasha Colby. And even at that point, it was more of a spotlight. Even Bianca Del Rio had a redemption arc. So this screams to me that Mikey Meeks is going to win this season. So accuracy.
I'm going to go accuracy as well. Jane Don't will be successful. Oh, good grief. I forget. Jinx Monsoon. And she's talented, but she's not going to win. So, last one, Chico.
Last one. America Says returns to GSN this April. It will get renewed.
Well, that's accuracy. It is one of the easiest shows to digest, easiest shows to syndicate, and everyone loves the host. So, yeah, accuracy.
Watch out for John Michael Higgins being up for an Emmy next year.
Ooh, well, that's an interesting one.
Well, I mean, that has happened before, so that wouldn't be a shocker if it happened again.
Right?
So, no, I'm going to say accuracy on that.
Okay. Can I throw in a bonus one we forgot to mention?
Ooh, a bonus. Okay.
Yes, please. Okay. It was noted this week that SAG-AFTRA has extended contract talks into next week with AI protections on the table. Accuracy or idiocy? We're going to see another strike.
Oh, accuracy. Accuracy, but I don't think it's going to come through DGA. I do think it's going to come through SAG.
So you think
SAG and AFTRA. I think DGA is the only one that won't strike, but I think they'll support.
I believe.
And I think AI will be a major part of that. I think directors will be fine. I don't think they're going to strike but I definitely think everybody else will.
I agree.
That's when they bring in the AI.
They bring in the AI and watch the creativity suffer. I know AI learned a lot since the days of Olive Garden. When you're here, you're here. But still, you could definitely tell when there was a little home cooking behind the script, as it were.
Well, I mean, to me, I actually think we're going to get a strike because, A, they didn't learn the lesson from last time, and B, when you saw that video from from the ByteDance company, whatever the hell the name was, it scared a lot of people.
I think the cyber AI actress scared a lot of people.
Yeah.
And then she comes out with a song, which is the worst thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Even worse than Rebecca Black.
That's bad.
That's bad.
Listen to it. It's real bad.
Do you know what's accurate? We've got a speed round coming up, and we're going to do that right after this. Don't be idiotic. Come right back.
WLTI is presented by Ryan's House of Yurts. Are you looking for something different, something fun, something small, something round? Come on down to Ryan's House of Yurts. Our hope, your only hope for cozy circles of happiness. Big yurts, small yurts, fancy yurts, simple yurts. We've got a yurt for every dream and every backyard. Stop by Ryan's House of Yurts today, because life's too short for all of those pesky corners.
If you want the AI version, go to Cyber Lucy's Yurts of Fun.
By the way, I did get the puzzle, but when I saw it up there, I'm like, are you kidding me?
Oh, man.
All right. It's time for a speed round, and we're going to start it now. The tribes have been moved to Survivor. They've been moved. We've got new tribes. Who's next? Go.
Anybody who targets Ozzy. No.
Well, that could be true, but, you know.
That could be true, but again, it's like Emily's leaving everything on the table. Expect her to be targeted next.
Yeah, I think Emily's going to Yurt Island.
Ah, okay. Okay, Dragon
Island of the Yurts.
We had no eliminations this week. Who's next week with the roast of Alyssa?
Oh gosh, you know, Juicy Love Dion may be targeted, but then again, it all depends on who's really good at comedy. This is another comedy leg of the drag race. Kenya Pleaser's been doing really well. Can she pull this one off in the upset?
I think the bigger issue is, yeah, I agree with no. We saw how people did in the library read this week. They were not exactly over-impressive. Kenya Pleaser was extremely under-impressive. And if that goes into the roast, then... She may be going to the fashion.
Juicy Love Beyond, too. She was terrible in the roast. I mean, in the reading challenge. Okay.
Okay.
Jeopardy.
We said goodbye to James Dennison. Do we get Wheel of Champions, or will we see somebody rise up again?
I still feel Wheel of Champions going on. Celebrity All Stars. Patton Oswalt, Mark Duplass, and Katie Nolan. Who wins?
First of all, it was Rachel Dratch. Rachel Dratch. Mark Duplass.
Rachel Dratch, excuse
Nolan.
Me.
I'm really pulling for Katie Nolan.
Oh my.
I'm going to go with Katie Nolan also.
Okay, which means congratulations, Mark Duplass, on winning the game. No.
Yay! Yeah. Wheel of Fortune. We're gonna have $1 million winner this week, right?
No.
No, but poor Kitty tonight, man. That cat was like, seriously. You don't bring a cat to a public TV show.
You brought a cat to a game show.
Anna did, actually.
Oh my god.
Yep. So.
Okay.
Do we have any mail?
No, but if you want to send us some, our address is WLTI@GameShowNewsNet.com. Follow us on all social media at GameShowNewsNet. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I'm at Beat the Block number 2 at the end.
GSNN Haterade is my moniker.
And, of course, the network is 5&1Net. That is the number 5, ANDONENET. We talk about anything and everything going on network-wide. BS Big Show still in hiatus until... Well, actually, no! We're going to have a little bonus BS next week.
We are, because free agency happened, and well,
it didn't ever happen. Let's just say that.
Yeah, yeah, and basically Max Crosby's crunchy knees didn't go too well, right?
Right.
Well, you know, they can go to Detroit. They like to eat kneecaps.
Oh, boy.
But yes, we're going to do a special free agent edition this week. Over on the NAWC this coming weekend, we are going to cover, we're going to preview AEW Revolution and head on the road to WrestleMania, where CM Punk is, believe it or not, playing the heel role a bit. And people are complaining that Cody Rhodes is going in as champion and Drew should have done it, and therefore I'm not going to watch anymore.
Stop.
Poor baby.
It's the yearly IWC, I'm not going to watch, and then going to watch, etc. Please.
That is bull donk.
It's Rob the Cash Cow. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, and we talked about...
Oh, UBA, yeah. Mega Bowl this weekend, right?
This weekend, Mega Bowl. Jacob Johnson and his World Heavyweight Championship is up for grabs.
Oh, and one other thing. So where is Mega Bowl this year?
Mechanicsville and Richmond, Virginia.
Expanding. Oh, wow. Okay. So I'm assuming it's going to be a long no sleep weekend for you.
Woohoo!
No one's sleeping in Virginia, baby.
No sleep till Brooklyn on the way back.
And it was a thing.
Oh, well, it's after midnight on the East Coast, which means we dropped a brand new episode, and it is one of the biggest spinoff flops in television history. Joey.
I remember that show. I never watched an episode, but I do remember it.
Yep, and brace yourself. This promises to be one of our top 10 shows ever.
Okay.
Woohoo!
So, there's that. And to bring it back to game shows, at least 3 former game show contestants make guest appearances on this show. And if Mike was here, he'd probably say 4 if you count Colby Donaldson, which I don't.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
All that is that it was a thing on TV.com. Please join us there. Speaking of game shows, we got more of them next week. More Top Chef, more Survivor, more Drag Race, more Jeopardy. And we finally talk about the compare and contrast between E's Look at Top Model and Netflix's Look at Top Model. And what the hell, let's talk about E's Look at the Price is Right as well. Plus... that was terrible, but yeah, that was... We got March Madness! We are going to be
okay, and make sure you bring the list out early, please.
I will be.
I have time to think about it.
Yeah, okay, I will be working on the list all weekend long. So.
And this is one list you do not want to make.
No, it is not. So, Bro Gordon and Jason and everybody at 5-1. My name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Game over. And spread the earth.
Good night.
Night.
Let's go.